The relationships with the agencies come through networking. Success in Sync is definitely one of those things where you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket, but you also don't want to have your eggs in too many baskets. You want to have a relationship with the agency so that way you're always top of mind, they're sending you briefs, you know, so it's a balance. You don't want to work exclusively with someone, but you also don't want to spread yourself too thin.
Coming directly from the horseshoe crowd capital of the world, get a leg up and get ready for the hydrant. And now, the man who built the bicycle used by Pee Wee Herman, your host, Jim Cooper.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the hydrant. Nisma Osman is with me today, and she is, well, first of all, before we go down that whole rabbit hole, welcome to the show. I appreciate you doing this.
Thank you, Jim. Happy to be here.
Oh, it's great. Nisma is a musician. She's a composer. She's a producer. She's a music composition coach. She does Music Sync licensing. I talk for a living. Music Sync licensing mastery coaching. Now, tell me what that is, because I consider myself a musician and music is my life. I don't know what that means. So
yeah,
what does Music Sync licensing mean? I'll try to put my teeth back in.
Yeah, it is the process of being paid to let a production company, like a TV show or an ad company, use your music in their spot, in their, you know, in this, in a scene or in their commercial or their movie. And it's just the process of securing that license and being paid for it. And I teach artists how to do that with their music.
Oh, that's cool. So you would write the music and then contact them and say, hey, you know, have this music XYZ, whatever it happens to be. They say, yeah, we want to use it. Then you have to essentially write a contract between you that licenses your music to let them use it.
Pretty much, except you're not usually dealing directly with the production companies. Like, let's give an example. Let's say Target has a new ad that they need music for. You'll typically work with licensing agencies who act as the middlemen between you, aka the musician, and the production company, in this example, Target.
Well, that's cool. Aside from all that, though, you are also a musician.
Yes.
And you attended Berklee, and I love that campus right there in Harvard Square. It's just, I've had so much fun there. I didn't attend it, but just visiting there is great. My son actually applied to go there and decided to do something else after going through the application process. But how was your experience at Berklee?
I wish I had a better reply to this, but my experience at Berklee was mixed. It was tough just because it's such a difficult program. And also I didn't have the luxury of being able to just do school. I had to also work to support myself. So it was hard in that way, but at the same time, it's an incredible place. And I met some amazing, amazing musicians, people. I had incredible teachers, incredible opportunities. So, I mean, overall, it was worth, I mean, I'll use that word lightly, worth the time and money and energy. But yeah, it was, I look back at that time and I wish that I had the capacity and the resources to do it a little differently.
Because during that time, if my timing is correctly, you actually released your debut EP while you were attending Berklee.
Yeah.
And I saw that. I was like, wait a minute, how did she do that and go to Berklee at the same time?
Yeah, it was
so a project. It was called Land of the Living, if you want to go out and look for it. It was released in 2016. Yeah, I've heard that Berklee can be a bit of a mill.
Yeah.
And that it's the competition is so high, as it probably should be.
Sure.
You know, what do I know? Because it's trying to go up against Juilliard to a certain extent.
Sure.
That it can be tough. But the experience, I would say, would be, I can see where it would be mixed.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's also not a typical school in that your full-time schedule is, you know, at a typical university, a full-time load, course load would be 3 to 4 classes. At Berklee, it's 8 to 9. So, and keep in mind, you're not just doing math and writing term papers, you're memorizing songs and you're practicing your performances and you're putting together pieces. So it's just a much heavier load. But anyway, not to, you know, beat around or beat that dead horse, but yeah, something to know.
Yeah, and it's I would imagine it'd be a tough program, but yeah. If you're immersed, if music is your soul, then
yeah. Oh yeah, it's awesome.
It's a good place to be. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your performing, and then we'll get back to talking a little bit about some of the teaching that you do.
Sure.
As we mentioned, you have the debut EP out in 2016. There are a bunch of singles out on Apple that have come out. You've done a lot of collaboration CDs where your songs are showing up on like Roadside Cafe, Indie Girls, and Indie Cafe, and you've done some collaborations. How does that come about, the collaboration side? I mean, do they come to you and say, hey, I want you to do this? Or is this just something that you seek out on your own to try to be part of a team on some project?
It's a little bit of both. You know, it just comes from, it's a natural side effect of networking, and just meeting new people and just having conversations with people and realizing, oh, you know, you need this. Hey, I can do that. And so you just go about your days, and some of it you seek out, some of it lands in your lap, and it's just becomes a mix that way.
Okay, so I see the guitar in the background. What instruments do you play?
So primarily I consider myself a vocalist, but okay. I also play piano, guitar, and electric bass.
Okay. You've been doing this for a long time. I mean, this isn't something you just decided to do at the last minute.
Yeah.
You said that you made your first sync at age 13.
Yeah, that was a funny story, actually. It happened
what
on accident.
What was that all about?
Yeah, so it was an accident. I was actually, there was a little singer-songwriter convention that came to my town, and they had like a talent show, like a little showcase. And my friend kind of pushed me on stage, and I sang this original song that I had written. And mind you, I was in like the 10th grade, right? I was terrified and singing in front of all these like music industry people. But I sang it, you know, and it went over fine. And when I was done, after the showcase ended, a man approached me and he introduced himself as a publisher and said that he felt that the song that I had performed would work really well in film and TV, and he wanted to help me get there, you know, get the song there. So he helped me get it produced. He sent me up to a recording studio in North Jersey to get it done, get the vocals tracked, and he produced it out. He published it, and it was placed on a ton of different TV shows, ads internationally. That's cool. Since then. And that was really my accidental foray into music licensing.
So, just out of curiosity, do you remember what studio it was?
Yeah, I remember it. So it wasn't an official recording studio. It was
right.
Ron Haney. He's a music producer from near Long Branch. And he at the time was working with Bart Schudel, who now vocal produces for Selena Gomez. But mind you, this was how many years ago? This was 2010,
right.
So 13 years ago. Bart's gone a long way since then. But yeah.
Things change so rapidly anyway in that business.
Exactly. So. But literally it was a home studio to the umpth degree. It was in his basement. He had made like a little ISO booth for vocals, but it was really like, you know, we were just doing it, and it was a great experience.
Yeah, I've been there. I've been with a couple bands because I'm a drummer, and we did a couple CDs, and it was always somebody's basement, and it was always the home deal, and it was just like, oh, this is interesting.
Yep.
So I get it. All the sync placements that you've done, and it's not like minor stuff. I mean, we're talking like Netflix, USA, Apple TV+, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. For people that are in my industry, the voiceover industry, there's that connection of, and you may have talked about this already, of that networking connection of how do I get to the publishers or to the authors or to the clients and that kind of thing. Were those placements all through agencies, or was it all through networking, or is it kind of like a combination of the two?
Well, I would say the relationships with the agencies come through networking. Success in sync is definitely one of those things where you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket, but you also don't want to have your eggs in too many baskets, because you want quality in the relationship with the agencies over quantity of relationships with various agencies, because that gets you to be a small fish or a blip in their catalog. Whereas you want to have a relationship with the agency, so that way you're always top of mind. They're sending you briefs, you know. So it's a balance. You don't want to work exclusively with someone, but you also don't want to spread yourself too thin. And so, throughout time, as you build relationships and you meet people, you kind of learn what relationships are going to yield you the best results. And so that just takes time getting to those good few.
It's interesting that you, and the key word there is relationships, because I say the same thing when people come to me for, you know, wanting to get into the voiceover industry or do audiobook narration. You know, you got to build the relationships with the people first. You just can't send them a demo and say, hey, hire me. It's not going to happen.
Right.
So, yeah, no, it's, I guess it's the same everywhere. That's cool.
Yeah.
So now you've taken all this and you actually now do coaching for people that want to get into composing and sync licensing and that kind of thing. And if you're interested in this, you can go to nismahosman.com. It's nismahosman.com. And you can see all her different services and things that she does. And there's demos of some of her songs and stuff like that. Does that get, not to put you on the spot, does that get a lot of traction? Do you get a lot of people saying, hey, how do I do this? Can you help me?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, what I see more and more, especially if you're on any sort of social media, which I actually recently took a break from, but
smart move.
Yeah, for my mental health, right?
Yes, exactly.
But what I see a lot of is artists, talented artists who have the music, who have the drive, who cannot figure out how to monetize. Mm-hmm. And it keeps them stuck. And having this experience in sync licensing and seeing the returns financially and otherwise, because it's more than just, you know, making a buck. It's also, it gives you the ability to really control your time and your music. I think there's so many musicians who really are at that place where they're like, how do I monetize this? Because doing the social media thing is exhausting. Trying to go viral, trying to get people to stream your songs for what? 0.0003 cents a stream. Like, if you look at it from a business perspective, that's a terrible return on your investment, right? So it's what everybody does. So it's what everybody does, right? And but there are people who are willing to kind of look over here to the left and see, you know, where the money's actually being made. And those folks typically get really excited at the prospect of learning how to do sync.
Because anybody, and this is kind of general across the board, but if you are a creative artist, as so many of us are, you don't get in this to get rich, because your chances of getting rich are infinitesimal. I mean, because I've written some books and I talk to writers and they're like, you know, I want to be the next J.K. Rowling, or I want to be the next Stephen King. And it's like, the chances of that, you'll get struck by lightning before that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So you've got to get into it because you love doing it.
Sure.
Not because you think you're going to get rich doing it. And I think I saw somewhere along the line that you've actually given back even further. You went back to Berkeley to do some teaching.
Oh, yeah. That was great. That was fun. They brought me in for, they have summer sessions where they bring high school students and some adults too. They offer pretty much like mini courses, like week-long courses, with different concentrations. And I did their songwriting boot camp.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, it was like a week just kind of mentoring young students, young songwriters. It was a blast.
That's awesome. Good for you. Yeah. I love doing that. Yeah, I got asked to come back and actually talk to some audiobook narration students at Syracuse University, the grad students. And I had such fun doing it. It was just like, ooh. Like, of course, it's not, being a teacher is a different ball game, but when you pop in and pop out, it's a fun thing.
Yeah.
So, okay. So if everyone listening, if you're interested, once again, it's Nisma Osman. Said it wrong. NismaOsman.com is where you can go get more information. And normally at this point in the podcast, we usually go to some goofy questions, and we're going to go to the goofy questions. But the first thing we're going to do, since we're talking about music, let's listen to some music. And this is a small clip from Nisma's cut called Sexy Today.
You lured me in, you are my king, you crowned me with your touch. Became so clear when you came near, I felt your walls go up. You were always making me think it was my fault. I can't believe I thought I needed you. What a fool I was. Well, let me tell you something, boy. You can go find yourself a toy and watch me take my beautiful self right out this door. 'Cause I feel sexy today. Ooh, in a new kind of way. Yeah, I'm walking.
That's a great clip, and it's a great song. Sounds like it's a personal song, which is like, okay, so many of the best songs are from personal experience. When you sit down to write, is that the first place you go, to some sort of personal experience, or what triggers you to put down a song?
Well, it depends what writing mode I'm in, but you know, if I'm writing for sync, I typically draw on the themes that people want to hear in sync. So it's a little less personal, but when I'm writing for myself or for another artist, I always draw on personal experience.
Right. So and that just triggered another thought, is when you say sync, and I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking of strictly instrumental, but it doesn't necessarily have to be instrumental to sync. It could have vocals behind it, right?
I usually write vocals for sync. Yeah.
Okay. Learn something new every day.
Yeah.
I'm learning a lot today. That's great.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, let's ask you some of these goofy questions
and
see what happens. And this is an appropriate first one. What song should play every time you walk into a room?
Oh, my gosh. I Want to Dance with Somebody, Whitney Houston.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I haven't had that one before. That's good. What breed of dog would you be?
I don't know that many breeds of dogs except like the normal ones. So I'll draw off that. I would say maybe like a pug.
What movie makes you laugh no matter how many times you've seen it?
That's a tough one. Probably something with Melissa McCarthy. She's just hilarious. Or something with Tina Fey or Amy Poehler.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of a particular movie off the top of my head, but those actresses really do it for me.
Okay, I was going to ask you who would play you in a movie about your life, but I guess we just kind of answered that,
yeah,
didn't
sure.
we?
Yeah, sure. Let's stick with those.
If you were an ice cream flavor, what would you be?
Something very rich and chocolatey, like a chocolate fudge brownie something, maybe with some caramel in there.
Death by chocolate kind of thing. Yeah, okay. That works. What sound or noise do you love?
Ooh, the sound of waves breaking.
I was going to say that because based on your publicity pictures.
See, I love the ocean.
Yeah,
no,
I do too. So, and speaking of which, for those of you who really want to know, aside all this music stuff, Nisma has her own vacation rental business in the Jersey Shore, so contact her about that if you're looking to rent something down along the Jersey Shore.
Come along.
Give her a buzz. And I know that is completely the opposite end of the spectrum, but that's the way it goes sometimes.
Yep.
What is your least favorite sound or noise?
Oh, honestly, I really don't like it when people shush, like the sound of a shush, like a held shush. Like a shh, you know? For some reason, that really bothers me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. What Looney Tunes character best represents you?
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember their names. Can you give me a list?
Could you go with Disney easier?
Oh, I mean, there's so many Disney characters. Probably, I mean, I want to say Moana because she's just so cool and she's all about the ocean. So we'll go
Right.
with Moana.
Okay.
And we have
Okay.
the same hair, so there.
What food will you absolutely not, under any circumstances, eat?
Oh, I want to say probably like worms. Do people eat worms? I don't know.
Well, that's an interesting perspective. So, okay.
I'm pretty much like I'll eat most things. I'll try most things. There is
Right.
though, one time I tried goat brain and that was really gross. So I probably would never eat that again.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I'd even try it. So,
Yeah.
congratulations for having the courage to do
Yeah.
that. Okay, I'm going to give you, we're going to do an either or thing. I'll give you two things and you tell me what your preference is.
Okay.
Passenger or driver?
How far is the drive?
No one has ever asked me to qualify that question
It
before.
matters, though.
Yeah. Well, then I'm going to guess that say if it's local driver, if it's long-term passenger,
You got
or is
it.
it the okay. Okay. I dare you to qualify this one. Summer or winter?
Summer.
Bananas or watermelon?
Watermelon.
Toilet paper, over or under?
Don't care. Don't notice, don't care.
Okay. That's the third category. We either get people that are militant for one of the two, or they're just as long as it's there, I don't care.
Yeah.
Eggs, omelet, or scrambled?
Omelet.
Live theater or movies?
Movies.
Texting or calling?
Calling.
Library or a museum?
Museum.
Bewitched or I Dream of Jeannie?
Bewitched.
Which superpower would you rather have, invisibility or panmesia, which is the ability to remember absolutely everything you've ever thought, felt, encountered, or experienced?
Invisibility. I wouldn't want to remember everything in my
Yeah.
life.
And invisibility has the propensity for more mischief, so
True.
that's a good thing. So. Would you rather go skydiving in a rainstorm or climb the antenna at the top of the Empire State Building on a windy day?
I feel like the skydiving would hurt, so I'm gonna go with the Empire.
Good for you. Both would kill me, so I just, I don't know. Would you rather give up your cell phone for a month or bathing for a month?
Cell phone.
It's amazing how many people don't think too hardly about that one and just come up with cell
I'd be
phone.
glad. I'd be like, take this. Just don't take my
I
nightly showers away.
Would you rather have telekinesis, the ability to move things with your mind, or telepathy, the ability to read people's minds?
Oh, telekinesis. I don't want to know what people are thinking for real.
I wouldn't either. Would you rather have to eat only liver for the rest of your life or be forced to watch an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians every day?
I'll do the Kardashians.
Wow. A lot of people do end up that because liver is just so repulsive. So.
And it's like only liver. I mean, I can
Right.
live the rest of my life normally while also just having to watch the Kardashians, so I can do that.
Right. Okay. Would you rather be able to remain immortal or be able to fly?
Be able to fly.
Would you rather have whatever you are thinking appear in a bubble above your head for everyone to read or have absolutely everything you do be live streamed for everyone to watch?
Oh, God. I guess the live stream, including like the bathroom, though. I mean,
Everything.
sure. I have no shame in the game.
It's a horrible question, but it's just like I'm always willing to see what people would do. God. So, well, thank you for doing this. I mean,
Thank
third
you.
time's a charm. We tried to do this two other times and it
Yeah, I
didn't
mean,
work. So.
when it works, it works, you know?
So it's cool. Once again, nismaosmond.com. Go out. You can see everything that she does, listen to a lot of her songs, and because all the songs are great. I mean, I've listened to a bunch of them, and they're really good, well done song. So it's not a fly by night operation. This is the real deal right here. So thank you again for doing this. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next time on The Hype. Thanks for hanging out with us on The Hydrant. The Hydrant announcer is Allison Steele. For outstanding VO coaching and voice acting services, visit Allison at AllisonSteele.com. That's Allison with a Y and Steele with no E at the end. Shoot me an email with any comments, questions, worthwhile recipes at BigDog@JimCooperVO.com. This episode, copyright 2024 by Jim Cooper VO and Nat Landcore Audio, which is solely responsible for its content. No reproduction by writing, recording, reposting, smoke signals, AI voice loading, Morse code, or any other electronic or manual recording method known to man is allowed without prior written consent. Come back and play with us next week as the steady stream of outstanding guests continue at The Hydrant.